2010 metai, kovo 16 diena, toliau skaitome Mahabharatą, verstą Krishna Dharmas Prabhu, pirmą dalį, 33 atsiprašau, skyrių. About a month after the incident with Durvasa, the Pandavas were out hunting together. They had left Draupadi at the hermitage under Daumya's care. While they were gone, the king of Sindhu, Jayadratha, passed that way while travelling to Salva's kingdom. Seated upon a royal chariot, he came to the outskirts of the Pandavas ashram and saw Draupadi gathering flowers. The king at once fell in love with the beautiful Draupadi, her dark complexion framed by bluish curls, shed luster on the woodlands. As she bent over to gather the wild forest flowers, Jayadratha was captivated. He said to his son Kautika, "Go and ask this lady her name. Find out if she is an apsara or a daughter of some god." Atsiprašau, šiandien sergu, dėl to balsas nebus grynas. Jayadratha was on his way to marry King Salva's daughter, but upon seeing Draupadi, he lost all interest in that other princess. No other woman could ever match the beauty of this forest lady. At ką daro geisvas, ne? Gali būt susižadėjęs, bet pamatai kitą, vėl kitos noris. Go, Kotick, and find out why this lady loiters in the forest full of wild beasts and thorns. If she will have me as her lord, then I will consider my life successful. The prince jumped down from the chariot. As a jackal approaches a tigress, he went up to Draupadi and asked, "O fair one, who are you who stands here leaning on the branch of a kadamba tree, looking like a brilliant flame? Why do you feel no fear in this forest? Are you a goddess or the daughter of a celestial? Perhaps you are the wife of a Lokapala. Tell me, gentle lady, who and whose you are? What is your race and why are you here?" Kokia yra tavo rasė? Ja, klausimas. Reiškia, tuo metu vedinės laikai žmonės buvo pripratę matyti kitas gyvės formas, kaip apsaras, gandarvas, šeranas. Klausia, kokia tavo rasė yra. Normalu. The prince introduced himself and then, pointing to his father, said, "That one there, shining like a sacrificial fire, is the king of Sindhu. Surrounded by powerful kings, he is traveling at the head of 6,000 chariots and many elephants, horsemen and infantry. Like Indra amid the Maruts, he is journeying amid his friends. He is gazing upon you, O thin-waisted one." Skirdavosi vediniai karaliai tom, kad jie įjodavo priekyje savo kariuomenės ir jeigu reikėdavo kautis, jie kaudavosi. O nesėdėdavo štabį ir sakydavo, dabar pasiūskit dar 10 000, dar 10 000, pats nemokėdamas net ginklų laikyti. Kaip mūsų laikų prezidentai. Draupadi stepped back and pulled her cloth over her head. "O prince, it is not proper for me to speak to you here. The ordinance dictates that a woman should never be alone with any man other than her husband. Under these circumstances, however, I will tell you who I am. I am the daughter of King Draupada and the wife of the 5 heroic Pandava brothers. My husbands are now out hunting, but they will return soon. You should tell your father to dismount from his chariot and wait for them. Yudhishthira is fond of guests and will doubtlessly offer you a fitting reception." Nu va čia yra vietinės kultūros elementas, kad ištekėjus moteris niekad nelikdavo su vyru, išskyrus savo vyru vienumoj. Kodėl? Dėl to, kad pradeda megztis romanas arba energijomis keistis. Gali būti nepatraukli, bet taip ir kyla tokios mintis. Šiuolaikiniai visuomeniai jo išprievartauja arba vienos nakties romaną padaro ir išsiskiria. Arba tenai sugula, nepasiruošę, būna nepilnamečių nėštumai ir taip toliau. Drupadi turned and walked back toward her cottage, leaving Kokita standing by the Kadamba tree. Kokita then returned to his father and told him what she had said. The king replied, "Why have you returned unsuccessful? I must have that woman. Now that I have seen her, all other women seem to me like monkeys. My mind was entranced the moment I saw that princess." "You will have to take her by force, dear father. She will surely not come willingly." Jadratha got down from his chariot and went with his son and several other kings toward the Pandavas' hermitage. Like a pack of wolves entering a lion's den, they went into the ashram and saw Draupadi standing there. In a silky voice, Jadratha said, "Is all well with you and your husband, so queen?" Draupadi answered that everything was well, then said, "Is all well with your kingdom, treasury, and armies? Are you justly ruling the prosperous countries of Sindhu, Sovira, and all others brought under your sway? Yudhishthira will soon return and offer you refreshments. For now, please accept this water to wash your feet, and be pleased to wait for my husband's." Draupadi pointed towards several large pitchers of water standing by her cottage. Jadratha smiled. "All is well with us, O fear-faced one, but we have no interest in food and water." He stared at Draupadi as he continued to speak. "I wish to take you with us. Why do you remain attached to Kunti's wretched sons? They have lost all their prosperity and are forced to dwell in the forest. A woman of good sense doesn't devote herself to a fallen husband. Your husbands have fallen from their dignity and have lost everything. You need not share the Pandavas' miseries. O you of beautiful hips, renouncing them, become my wife and share with me the kingdom of Sindhu and Sauvira." Tai va, tas pats vyksta, kai va, pavyzdžiui, vyras bando gundyti moterį, kuri yra ištekėjus, pradeda nuteikinėti ją prieš vyrą. Draupadi frowned and retreated a few steps. She felt pain to hear Jadratha's speech. "Are you not ashamed to speak in this way?" she retorted. "How dare you address me thus?" Draupadi's face flushed and her eyes turned crimson. Her voice rose to an angry shout. "O fool, how dare you insult the illustrious Pandavas, each of whom is like Indra himself? They all abide by their duties and never waver in battle even with the celestials. The wise never criticize men who practice devout penances, even if they are impoverished. Only dogs speak like that. I don't see anyone here who can save you from the pit you have dug under your own feet. By expecting to defeat the pious Dishtira, you hope to separate with a stick a Himalayan elephant from his herd. Out of childishness, you are rousing a sleeping mountain lion to pluck a hair from his face. You will have to flee with all speed when you see the furious Bhima. When Arjuna returns, you will not know which way to turn. Your inviting these two heroes to an encounter is like a fool trampling on the tails of two enraged and venomous cobras. As a bamboo bears fruit only to perish, or as a crab conceives only to die, so shall you meet your end when you lay your hands upon me." No, yocha. Kshatriyas moka. Aštrai pakalbėta. Jadratha laughed, enchanted by the sight of the furious Draupadi. I know all this, O Panchali, he replied derisively. You cannot frighten me with your friends. I am born in a royal line endowed with opulences and qualities. I consider the Pandavas inferior. Therefore, mount my chariot and come with me. Don't speak so boastfully. Draupadi was horrified. Why does this fool take me to be powerless? She cried. Even Indra couldn't abduct me. Even if he tried, Arjuna and Krishna riding upon the same chariot would follow and destroy him. What then of a weak human? O king, when Arjuna releases his deadly arrows, you will see your entire force destroyed as dry grass is consumed by fire. Beholding Bhima rushing at you with his upraised mace, and the twins raging on all sides, vomiting forth their anger, you will then be sorry. As I have never proven false to my husbands, even in my thoughts, so those men will destroy you. I don't fear you, wretch. Draupadi looked away from Jayadratha. She knew that by her own ascetic powers, she could reduce him to ashes, but she didn't want to be drawn to violence by Jayadratha. Her husbands would deal with him soon enough. Reiškia, Draupadi turėjo tiek šakti, kad savo žvilgsnių galėjo sudeginti. Būtent nuo skezio atsiranda daug psichinės jėgos ir kai jinai susikopia, gali ką nori daryti. Jadratha stepped forward and seized the princess by her arm. She cried, don't pollute me by your touch, and called out for Domya. Jadratha took hold of her upper garments, but she pushed him back with such force that he fell to the ground. Then Jayadratha was angry. He grabbed Draupadi and dragged her to his chariot. Draupadi irgi buvo galinga, juk jinai tokį karalių nuvertė ant žemės. Domya suddenly appeared and rebuked Jayadratha. You cannot seize this lady without defeating the Pandavas, O king. You should observe the Kshatriya's ancient custom. Truly, you will reap the results of this wicked act when the heroic Pandavas return. Jayadratha ignored Dhumya. He placed Draupadi in his chariot and sped away, followed by his army. Dhumya entered among the king's troops and stayed close behind, continuously reprimanding him with strong words. The Pandavas were some distance from the ashram. As they went through the dense forest, Yudhishthira began noticing inauspicious signs. He said, do you see how these birds and animals flee toward the sun and pass excrement? This indicates that the forest has been invaded by enemies. Let us return to the ashram. My heart seems to be aching for some reason, and my mind is clouded. I feel as if I were about to fly out of my body. Mokslas, vedasi, ženklų mokslas. The five brothers immediately started back. As they raced through the trees and bushes with their weapons flying behind them, they saw a jackal yielding hideously. Yudhishthira became still more concerned and urged them on. Suddenly they burst into the clearing where they were camped. There on the ground they saw Datreyika, Draupadi's maid, weeping loudly. The Pandavas' ever-present servant and charioteer Indrasena dismounted and went over to her. Why do you weep? I hope no ill has befallen the princess Draupadi. Could anyone have been fool enough to snatch away that incomparably beautiful lady? Dharma's son has become so anxious that he's ready to go after her even if she has entered the earth, soared to the heavens, or gone to the bottom of the sea. Reiškia, vidui žemėj yra civilizacijos, yra rojai, ir jūros dugne irgi yra civilizacijos. Kitame etape. Čia nebereikalo tai pasakyta, nepalyginimas. Why today will fall, who today will fall to the earth? when his body pierced and torn by arrows. Don't weep, gentle girl, for Panchali will come back this day and be reunited with her lords. Rubbing her face, the maid said, disregarding her five Indra-like husbands, Jadratha has carried Draupadi away by force. See there the trail left by that wretch and his followers. It happened not long ago. He cannot have gotten very far. Datreika looked up at the Pandavas and said, quickly give chase, my lords, lest Draupadi be violently overpowered and, being beside herself, gives up her person to an unworthy man, even as the sacrificial oblation might be thrown onto ashes. Don't let the ghee be poured onto an uniting fire of chaff, or the sacred garland thrown into a crematorium. Let no mean man touch with his lips your wife's brilliant face, as the Soma Jews might be licked up by a dog through the priest's inattentiveness. Yudhishthira said, go to your hut, gentlewoman, and govern your tongue. Kings and princes who are puffed up with their power soon come to grief. The brothers immediately went after Jadratha. They twanged their bows and breathed the hot sighs of furious serpents. Soon they saw the dust raised by Jadratha's army. Coming near the soldiers, they saw Dhaumya wailing. Urging Bhima to go after Jadratha, Yudhishthira consoled the rishi and said, go back now, O priest. This low-minded one will soon be punished. Like hawks swooping on prey, the Pandavas rushed upon Jadratha's army with fierce cries. Seeing the Sindhu king in the distance with Draupadi in his chariot, their anger increased like a fire fed with ghee. They called out to him to stop and fight. Upon hearing their thunderous shouts, Jadratha's soldiers lost their senses and were seized by terror. Jadratha looked back and saw the Pandavas five chariots racing toward him. He said to Draupadi, five great heroes approach, O princess. I think they are your husbands. Tell me which of them rides with which chariot. Draupadi snorted angrily. After committing an act which will end your life, fool, why do you ask such a question? Still, as you are on the point of death, it behooves me to answer. Seeing Dharmaraja here with his brothers, I have not the slightest fear. Draupadi pointed to the foremost of the five chariots. Do you see that car upon which there is a staff with two celestial drums that are always being beaten? There you can see a lean man, the color of pure gold, with large eyes and a high nose. That is Yudhishthira. He is merciful even to an enemy who seeks his shelter. Therefore, put down your weapons and fall at his feet if you wish for your own safety. The princess then indicated the chariot to Yudhishthira's right, the one seated on that car who has long arms and is as tall as a sol tree, who is biting his lips and contracting his brows. That is Vrikodara. His strength is superhuman, and the earth knows him as Bhima. Those who offend him cannot live. He doesn't forget an enemy, but always takes revenge, and even then he is not pacified. Draupadi went on to point out Arjuna, who rode by Yudhishthira's left. He who blazes like fire, who is always firm in battle, who never commits a cruel deed, who never relinquishes virtue out of fear, lust or anger, and who can face an enemy, that is my husband, Dananjaya. Reiškia, labai gražus posakis, kad tas, kuris niekad neatsisako dorybės, apimtas baimės, geismo ar pykčio. Vat pabandyk tu nenusidėti apimtas baimės, geismo ar pykčio. Behind Yudhishthira, you see the twins on golden chariots. Here comes the religious Nakula, who is loved by his brothers as if he were their own life. He is an expert swordsman, and today you will see him cut your troops down like wheat. By his side is Sahadeva, the youngest and favorite of all the Pandavas. His wisdom and eloquence are without comparison. That intelligent hero, so dear to Kunti, would rather enter fire than say anything against religion or morality. Reiškia, vat, buvo visai kitos vertybės ir jeigu dabar nieks neapibūdina herojų per tokias vertybės. Dabar dažniausiai herojai, kur naglai prasisuka, apgauna, pavagė kažką, dar kažką. Tai čia, reiškia, aukščiausia elitas buvo tas, kuris būtent laikėsi religijos arba moralės. Jadratha looked alarmed, Draupadi laughed. Now you will see your army like a ship with its cargo of jewels wrecked on rocks. If you escape unarmed from the Pandavas, you will have a new lease on life. Jadratha shouted commands to his generals, quickly arraying his forces for battle. The Pandavas left off the infantry soldiers who were begging for mercy and made straight for the chariot fighters surrounding Jadratha. As they charged into battle, they darkened the sky with a thick shower of arrows. Seeing them advance like dreadful tigers, the fighters in Jadratha's army lost heart. Rising his mace, Bhima flew toward Jadratha with a roar. Kotika and the other charioteers came quickly to protect their king. They rained down arrows, darts and clubs upon Bhima, but he carried on without flinching. With a single blow from his mace, he slew a great elephant with its driver that was fighting in front of Jadratha. Oh, with a few more blows, he moved down 14-foot soldiers. At the same time, he fended off all the weapons hurled at him. As Bhima moved closer to the Sindhu king, Arjuna killed 500 warriors who stood before him. Yudhishthira himself slew hundreds more, and Nakula went about with a sword, scattering the heads of the soldiers fighting in the rear of the army, like a cultivator sowing seeds. From his chariot, Sahadeva released fierce iron arrows, which cut down many warriors fighting on the backs of elephants. They fell like birds dropping from a tree. A powerful king named Trigartha, fighting against Yudhishthira, suddenly descended from his chariot and slew the Pandavas king's four horses with his mace. Yudhishthira pierced Trigartha's breast with a sharp-pointed arrow, and he fell to the earth, vomiting blood. Yudhishthira with his charioteer Indrasena then leaped onto Sahadeva's chariot. Nakula was assailed by Suratha, a mighty elephant fighter. The elephant crushed his chariot and dragged it across the battlefield. Nakula jumped down with his sword and shield and fearlessly faced his foe. Suratha goaded his elephant toward him, and the infuriated beast rushed at Nakula with a scream. Nakula swung his sword and severed the elephant's trunk and tusks. Su kardu nukirsti šito dramblio kaulus. Iltis. The beast, which was clad in golden mail, fell headlong to the earth, crushing its rider. Nakula quickly jumped onto Bhima's chariot. Bhima released arrows with deadly accuracy. With a crescent-headed shaft, he slew Kotika's charioteer, and his chariot flew about pell-mell on the battlefield. As the confused Kokita tried to restrain his horses, Bhima shot a beautifully plumed arrow and severed the prince's head. At the same time, Arjuna killed 12 other princes fighting by Kokita's side. Thousands of other warriors were slain by the Pandavas. The battlefield was now strewn with the bodies of men and animals. Many chariots with tall standards lay smashed on the ground, along with armor, helmets, swords, and severed limbs. What was left of Jadratha's army fled. Many ravens, crows, falcons, and jackals, all crying out in joy, came to feast on the flesh of the dead warriors. Jadratha was now terrified. He quickly put Draupadi down from his shield and fled into the woods. Yudhishthira had Sahadeva take Draupadi up onto his shield, while Bhima continued to slay fleeing soldiers. Arjuna, however, checked his brother. What will you gain by killing these poor soldiers? They are afraid of their lives and running here and there. Leave off and chase Jayadratha. Bhima agreed. Turning to Yudhishthira, he said, O king, the army has been routed and its leader has fled. If you wish, go with the twins and take Draupadi back to the hermitage. Arjuna and I will deal with Jayadratha. He will not survive even if he goes to Indra for protection. Yudhishthira replied, O mighty armed one, you should remember that he is the husband of our sister, Dushala, Gandhara's daughter. Therefore, don't kill him. Draupadi became agitated to hear Yudhishthira's words, and she said to Bhima, If you wish to please me, then don't spear that infamous and despicable Sindhu king. An enemy who carries away one's wife or who wrests his kingdom from him should never be forgiven in battle, even if he begs for mercy. Yudhishthira consoled Draupadi and returned with her to the hermitage. Bhima and Arjuna at once headed into the forest after Jayadratha. The Sindhu king had already gone about 2 miles. Arjuna took out 4 arrows and began uttering mantras as he placed them on his bow. Pulling back the Gandiva into a full circle, he fired the arrows. They sped through the air over the tops of the trees, covering the full 2 miles and killing Jayadratha's 4 horses. The king fell from his chariot in fear. Getting to his feet, he stumbled through the undergrowth deeper into the forest. Mistiness, Strelis. Quickly catching up to him, Arjuna shouted, O Sindhu king, with what prowess did you dare take away our wife? Stand and fight. It doesn't become you to flee, leaving your followers to face the enemy. Jayadratha didn't look back. Bhima jumped down from his chariot and bounded after him. His eyes were red with fury. He quickly caught the terrified king and seized him violently by the hair. Arjuna called out, Don't kill him. And Bhima, who was about to deliver a powerful blow, pulled back his fist. He dashed Jayadratha to the ground and kicked him in the head. As the dazed king staggered to his feet, Bhima knocked him about, striking his head and chest with his fists and knees. Jayadratha fell unconscious to the ground and Bhima dragged him to Arjuna. Through clenched teeth, Bhima said, This one committed a heinous crime and doesn't deserve to live. But because Yudhishthira has commanded us, what can we do? The king is always merciful and forgiving. Bhima looked contempt. Justly, and Jayadratha, who was returning to consciousness. The Pandava considered how best to punish him. He took from his quiver a razor-headed arrow and shaved off Jayadratha's hair, leaving only 5 tufts. For a Kshatriya, such treatment was tantamount to being killed. It meant that he had been defeated and humiliated at the hands of a more powerful enemy, but left with his life. It was better to die in battle than to suffer such humiliation, and Jayadratha was consumed by shame. Bhima threw him to the ground and said, Fool, if you wish to live, then listen to my words. From now on, wherever you go, you must announce yourself as the Pandava slave. This is the accepted custom. Jayadratha sat on the ground with his head bowed. So be it, he replied, trembling. Bhima pulled the king up and pushed him toward Arjuna's shield. Get aboard, he ordered. We will take you to Yudhishthira to receive his command. They rode back to the hermitage and found Yudhishthira seated amid the Brahmins. Bhima dragged Jayadratha down from the chariot and had him bow before Yudhishthira. Here is the wretch who offended Draupadi. You may tell the princess that this vile man has now become our slave. Let him go, Yudhishthira said with a smile. Draupadi came out of her hut and saw the bedraggled Jayadratha on the ground in front of Yudhishthira. The soft-hearted princess, thinking of her cousin Dushala, said, "Yes, we should spear him. Bhima has punished him sufficiently, and he has now become our slave. Set him free." Bhima told Jayadratha to go. The Sindhu king, beside himself with anguish and shame, bowed before Yudhishthira and the Brahmins and then stood up to leave. Yudhishthira said, "You are a free man. I will release you this time, but don't commit such a vile act again. Although weak and powerless, you try to abduct another's wife by force." Seeing Jayadratha's piteous condition, Yudhishthira was moved to compassion. He held up his hand in blessing and said, "May your heart grow in virtue. Go now in peace with your followers. Never again contemplate such impiety." Jayadratha walked away from the hermitage sorrowfully. He thought only of how to avenge himself on the Pandavas. Realizing that he would never be able to overcome them in battle, he decided to accept a vow of asceticism to please Shiva. If he was overpowered by that great deity, then surely he would be able to defeat any enemy, even the mighty Pandavas. The Sindhu king made his way to the bank of the Ganges and sat down in meditation. For a long time, Jayadratha practiced severe austerities, eating only leaves and remaining wrapped in prayer to Shiva. Oho! Eventually, the god came before him and said, "What do you desire?" The delighted king replied, "May I be able to vanquish in battle all 5 Pandavas seated on their chariots." Shiva smiled, "This cannot be. The Pandavas are unconquerable because they are protected by Krishna. Even I cannot slay them. Therefore, your desire is impossible to fulfill. But I will grant you this, with the exception of Arjun, who is the invincible Nara incarnate. You will be able to check all of them in battle one time only." After granting them this boon, Shiva vanished, leaving Jayadratha to return to his own kingdom, wondering when the day would come when he would be able to use his boon. Reiškia, vat, Pandavo tikroji padėtis, kad tai yra Krišnas palidovai. Ir pats Krišna juos saugo. Dėl to net Šyva negali jų užmušti. Kitas dalykas yra tai, kad reiškia, pusdieviai privalo duoti palaiminimus. Nesvarbu, kad askezė yra atliekama galbūt ir su blogais tikslais. Taip yra sutvarkyta visa ta, jeigu atlieki, jeigu garbini pusdieviai, jisai turi tau atsilyginti. Ir dėl tos priežasties būtent Krišna ne vieną kartą baudžia jau tos pusdievius, kad jie neduotų palaiminimo. Pavyzdžiui, Narasimhadeva, kada Brahma buvo davęs Hiranyakašipu tos didžiausius gigantiškus palaiminimus, subarė Brahma, kad pasakė, kad neduok demonams palaiminimo. Visa visata, visai visatai atnešė kančia Hiranyakašipu. Tai va, Šyva davė, bet jis žinojo, kad Jayadratha bus nugalėtas. Ir kitas dalykas, kad būtent va, pyktis, neapykanta, gali pastumėti žmogų iki didžiausio askezių. Lygiai taip pat kitos emocijos, kaip baimė, jo, arba geismas. Ir atveju, kada žmonės vat būtent nori vienos ar kitos moters, vat būtent tos. Jie daro daug askezių, nors ta moteris gali nekreipdėmėsi jos. Jie darys didžiausias askezės, atiduos savo turtus, kad tik patraukta moteris savo, į savo pusę. tas pats su pykčiu. Jeigu nori atkeršyti, tu gali visą gyvenimą pašvęsti, kad atkeršyt kažkam. Nu va, tai reikia labai atsargiai su emocijom. Sako, 10 kartų pasverk, ar ten 9, ja. Pamatuok daug kartų ir po to kirpk, nereik skubėti. Tai va, Mahabharata moko, kad nepasiduokim savo aistrom. Kaip Džedratha pasidavė savo geismui. Jis laukia labai labai negeras pasekmes. Hare Krishna.